Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful friends. I want to welcome all of our listeners in the U.S. and around the world. I'm Jackie Laura Jones here with you on April 7th, 2020, and I'm coming to you live here in a very unusual time in the viewing of our script here in 2020. I have my wonderful friend, our wonderful friend Bruce Rawls here with me, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the coronavirus. And I titled this episode, Sicknesses of the Mind, Forgiveness and the Miracle, Heal the Mind. So we want to talk a little bit about that and put all this into context for those of you out there that are interested in the thought system, A Course in Miracles. So first and foremost, we hope everyone out there is safe and healthy. And Bruce, I'm so glad you're able to join me. Welcome back to True Forgiveness Teachings.
Thank you, Jackie. I'm always glad to do it. I need the right-minded ideas just like everyone else. And so when I share them with you, I'm sure you feel the same way. It's like, wow, I get to reinforce things that work for me, right?
Absolutely. And that's what a great sentence to kick this off. You know, we're all in this together and the mind is one. And so We're really just talking to ourselves and reinforcing these concepts as we all awaken together, those of us that have the goal of awakening, you know, from this dream of separation. So I just finished a Zoom class, incidentally, Bruce. It was wonderful. Uh-huh. One of my good friends, Julie, that lives up north, asked if I would speak at her Zoom Course in Miracles class. And, you know, I have to say the questions just were phenomenal. People are asking, really looking at this situation now, which happens to be a virus situation, through the lens of A Course in Miracles. And it's not always easy to do. And for anybody tuning in for the first time, this podcast goes out globally, so I have a ton of regular listeners, but I know that there's always people tuning in. So I always want to say at the beginning that this is a podcast specifically devoted to the teachings of A Course in Miracles, the spiritual thought system. So everything that we say there is within that context. And the Course teaches us that sickness is really of the mind. Sickness is synonymous with separation, the fact that we've separated, that we believe we've, not the fact, rather the belief that we've separated from our Creator. Sickness is also synonymous with lack of love, capital L, the love that is synonymous with heaven, with perfect oneness. And Bruce, I also wanted to tie this in to guilt today, because as we know, the Course speaks so much about undoing this unconscious guilt we feel from this seeming separation from God, which the Course is teaching hasn't really happened, but we believe it's happened. And so we have to address that belief. In fact, Jesus is helping us change our belief in separation back to remembering the atonement. The separation has not occurred, right?
Yeah. And we need every little bit of feedback from the world, which is a reflection of our decision of teachers moment to moment, to really remind us which teacher we're choosing. And it's like a perfect feedback system. If anybody's not familiar with the idea of feedback, it's basically the idea that, you know, there's a system that involves two components, then one component is you know, something that goes out, and then, and like a boomerang, that something else comes back. And I just occurred to me the other day, I've been attending a lot of the Zoom classes that Tim Wise and Glenn Corona are doing from the School for A Course in Miracles out of Denver, Colorado. Wonderful.
Wonderful.
And they have a lot of great material to share. And you can go to sfacim.org to see their list of daily classes on Zoom. And anyway, something one of them said the other day just struck me. It's like, well, the whole thing is a setup. The ego's use of feedback. And that is, we basically project onto the world things that we've sown in ourselves and the things that we don't want to look at. And that's the psychological principle from Freudian psychology. Freud fortunately gave that to the world, and so now we have that kind of in our collective consciousness to work with, to use that idea. But the basic idea is that the things that, you know, we don't want to look at, we shove underneath the mental carpet of the unconscious mind, and but it doesn't go anywhere. I mean, nothing ever goes anywhere, because this metaphysical system called A Course in Miracles suggests that it's all in the mind, and you know, we can't really escape the mind, but we can use it properly. And when we take the feedback that comes back to us and recognize that that is an effect and not a cause, then we're beginning to get the idea that it's never about what someone else is saying or doing. It's really my interpretation of what someone else is saying or doing. In this case, the someone else might be a virus, or the someone else might be a stock market, or something else might be a situation with the weather. It could be, you know, any number of things. And those things in our little wheel of misfortune, as some have called it, of all the un-merry-go-round of things that happen in the world that sometimes seem okay and other times, you know, horrific. And we've been certainly given plenty of challenges in the recent weeks to look at both sides of you know, this world we're in, exaggerated, it would seem, just further extremes than we're used to. But it's all a feedback system, and we get to the opportunity 24/7, 365 to look at what's in our mind reflected back to us. And if we hold grievances and feel victimized by what's coming back to us, that really is a choice that we can undo by choosing a different teacher in the mind. And of course, Miracles, as you well know, uses a very specific practice, and that is forgiveness, to have us look at not what's happened to us in the world as and taken it at face value, but to recognize that what seems to be going on in the world really is an illusory screenplay or drama or whatever you want to call it. It's like a movie or a dream that we've participated in on some level, usually unconscious, but the fact that it's coming back to us gives us an opportunity to heal the mind, and that's really the only sickness that we need to heal in the mind, as your wonderful title of your conversation today suggests, is that the belief that we're separate. So once we heal that, we can see that each thing that seems to be an irritation or annoyance or something that you know, drives us to a state of panic in the mind, whether it's a pandemic or a hangnail or a holocaust or, you know, it could be anything.
Right.
That then becomes something we can be grateful for, because it shows us that the power of decision for being peaceful or not peaceful is in the mind. And that we're not upset for the reason we think. We think we're upset because there's something out there in the world. But that we're really only upset because it's of a setup. And the setup is the projection. And then the upset is, so if you can imagine a little arrow going from your mind to the world, that's the setup that the ego doesn't want us to see. But the upset that comes back is all the feedback that comes in through our senses, and most importantly, it's not the raw data, because that's neutral, but it's the ego's interpretation of that data that is extremely filtered and distorted, and that's what gets us in so much trouble. So we just need to examine that and question it and ask ourselves, wait a minute, am I getting upset over something that I set up? And if we can ask ourselves that question enough and forgive the specifics and use the specifics to generalize and get back to the mind in a way that brings us to more consistent peace, we find that over time we really can be more peaceful. And I think that's the overall goal, of course.
Wonderfully said. And that's true. And you hit on so many points in that, Bruce, which not the least of which was the power of decision in the mind. We're always asked to choose again. So the Course is teaching us that sickness is a conflict in the mind. It gets displaced onto the body through projection. So it's getting displaced through a virus, right? Our belief in the sickness gets projected out into a myriad of forms. So
exactly.
One of those forms, obviously, is a virus. I just wrote about this in an article that I did for Miracles UK, and I also put it as a post on my blog. But we forgot that we put it there, right?
Exactly.
So people
exactly.
say, well, how do we handle this, right? Well, we know the answer is already in our mind. The Course teaches we're not searching out there for something. It's already there just waiting our acceptance, the atonement. So to every problem, mild upset, scare, we can turn the tables on the ego. Like you were talking about, the ego wants us to see separation, wants us to see the differences, right? And I really think if people revisit Lesson 161, it says that the purpose of all seeing is to show you what you want to see. Remember, the ego made this up. That's right. The ego wants us to see separation. That's what the body's eyes are for. See, seeing what you're seeing with the eyes isn't a fact. It's separation. So you were talking about interpretation, I believe, Bruce. The ego's interpretation of what the body's eyes are reporting back to us is different than the Holy Spirit's interpretation. We still see form. I think this is really key in the Course. It's the difference between, guilt and forgiveness. It's the difference between seeing fragments or wholeness. It's the difference between seeing shared interests and separate interests. So, of course, the body's eyes are going out. They're showing us separation because that's how they were made. So Jesus is teaching us ever so gently, I'm going to use what you made to bring you home. These are images that you made. Let's transform your thinking into my vision, which looks past all form, to the fear that's behind it, the sickness that's the mind. The separation is sickness. Right? And so we just to remember that specifics were made, Lesson 161 says, and it says, and now it's specifics that we must use in practicing. So this, you guys, everybody listening, is how to practice, right? This is the practice of true forgiveness when you're upset about anything, like Bruce said, even if it's a small upset to what we would think of as gargantuan or producing huge fear, such as a global pandemic, those who are fearful of it, regardless, we can forgive what's not really there because we know that we put it there. It's been put there through projection so that we don't have to deal with the guilt in our own mind from this seeming separation, right?
Right. So yeah,
I was just going to say, so the mind is even projecting an erroneous thought of separation. See?
Exactly.
So Jesus is trying to help us heal the belief in separation. It's not even that separation is the problem. We just believe it's there.
Exactly. And if this sounds, too theoretical, I think it's important to always remember that we not only do we choose how we feel, but this particular curriculum that's called A Course in Miracles is always and only about the mind, and particularly the decision-making faculty in the mind. It's either choosing peace and loving-kindness or fear and pandemonium at any moment. And it also, early on in the first few chapters in the text of A Course in Miracles, it suggests that we really need to be vigilant for not only mind wandering, but also level confusion, which is a concept in the course that I think is really helpful. And
yeah.
it's so easy to get you know, into a crazy mode of thinking where we think, well, okay, it's all in the mind, so I don't need to do anything in the world. And then the course says, I need to do nothing. And then fortunately, we have teachers like Ken Wapnick who suggest this. No, it doesn't mean you don't do anything in the world. It just means you need to do nothing. There's the emphasis on the neediness. And the neediness, of course, is just another form of fear. So to be, you know, in the world in a pragmatic way, we still do the normal things. You know, you get up and in a normal time frame, you get up and you brush your teeth and after you had breakfast and hop in the car and go to work. And now you do similar things, except now you hop on Zoom and have meetings with your colleagues or whatever. So, you know, it's the form may change, but really it's all about being normal and doing things
right.
You'd probably be doing anyway, 99% of the time. And the course doesn't ask that we change our lifestyle or our behavior at all. In fact, there's nothing, of course, about behavior. So, you know,
right.
I've got sitting in front of me a little cloth face mask that I'm going to wear to probably either tomorrow, this afternoon or tomorrow, later on, to go get a few groceries. And,
right.
And, so it's like,
I've got
why
my
not
glove.
Do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not do those things? Exactly.
Right.
And be, you know, just kind of sensible and normal. But at the same time, we can do those things with a feeling of peace and out of kindness and out of consideration rather than a fear. Because I think deep inside, if we can remember and do this more consistently, and it's not easy, but if we can remember just a little bit more each day that our identity is spirit, and today's workbook lesson is I am spirit, if you're doing it by the calendar. And,
love
and
it. Yeah.
that suggestion is that we're not limited by the form that we appear to take. And in fact, you know, we're not even a separate self in truth. Not even our personality is the real deal. It's basically just a placeholder that we've made up. And it's a pretty shabby one at that, if we're really honest with ourselves. And I think that's why, you know, this is not going to be as popular as most religions in the world. And probably won't be for quite some time, because it's asking us to really question the very underpinnings of what we think of reality. We have to do it all at once, but over time, I think I just noticed that times when we're not at peace, this being a very practical course, if we're not at peace, or if we're ill, if you will, because the only sickness that the course really addresses is the sickness of the mind, which is lack of peace. It's because we've chosen the wrong teacher again. And the wrong teacher, metaphorically, being the thought system of separation, the thought that we somehow pulled off the impossible metaphysically dream of making things separate from each other. Even modern physics suggests that that's, you know, a questionable idea. I mean, there's things called quantum computers now that have furthered what was known as quantum entanglement, that was discovered and proven in labs around the world many times over multiple decades ago, when the modern era of modern physics was birthed by the likes of Planck and Einstein and Bohr and Heisenberg and all those folks. They recognized that there were some definite funny things going on with this so-called physical reality. And one of the physicists more contemporary, John Wheeler, said, you know, there's no out there. And
yeah.
I think it might have been Heisenberg or one of those that said, you know, if quantum physics hasn't profoundly shocked you, you haven't understood it. You know, my interpretation of that is, you know, we really think that this is the real deal. And we think we're limited not only to a personality, but worse yet to a finite body that has, you know, the 70 if you in the old days, now maybe it's 70 or years. And,
right.
And you know, if we take care of ourselves or we don't get, you know, some random viral thing, you know, but it's like, how fickle is that? I mean, what kind of an insane creator would make up that kind of thing? And you alluded to that in the email you sent. You know, we could talk about one of the more challenging quotes in A Course in Miracles is, it in my mind is, you know, if this were the real world, God would be cruel. But I think
right.
it's also a very hopeful quote,
yeah.
meaning that No, the our true nature has absolutely nothing to do with cruelty. It has absolutely nothing to do with all of the insanity that the ego's thought system involves, which is, you know, founded on the idea that separation is possible, and therefore the laws of chaos apply, and that we have to, you know, struggle to get whatever we can from the world, whether it's toilet paper or you know, the tackle a brontosaurus or and you know, whatever. I mean, it's just the whole craziness just goes on and on. It takes different forms, but you know, it's just the same insanity of thinking that there's not enough. It's a thought system of lack. It's a thought system of fear. It's a thought system of never being or having enough. And yet the idea is based on duality, and the idea that it's possible that there's more than one of us. And again, it sounds like a stretch if you're hearing this for the first time, it's like, what? But if you think about the fact that when we really feel at peace, I think, if you're honest with ourselves, those are the moments, and you see examples of this on the news media where people during this, you know, crisis, if we want to call it that, people are recognizing the need to reach out and help each other and share. And that's really a reflection of the recognition that we're all in the same boat together, we're the same being, the same essence,
yes,
despite the form that seems to show separate bodies and separate places at separate times and all that stuff.
Beautiful.
But modern physics says, maybe not. Or at least it's leaning that way. You know, the quantum computers can be, the qubits in these quantum computers can be synchronized so that one qubit has the exact same data as the other qubit that it's synchronized with, regardless of whether or not they're, you know, across the room or in different galaxies instantaneously.
Yes.
So that our notions of space-time are certainly, you know, there's a big question mark on there, and that question mark is getting bigger and bigger. So if metaphysics doesn't do it for you, then try physics, because I think you're going to end up at the same place, the same conclusion,
right.
The same truly sane, truly logical conclusion is that separation and duality are, you know, questionable at best, bogus concepts, and that there is a thought system that is completely inclusive and wholly shared, that is a being that has no issues and has no problems. And that's the awareness of a peace that transcends any problems that the world might dish up. So.
Right. Right. I want to read, you mentioned that quote from chapter 13. So I'll say it for the listeners too, if you're in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, third edition, I guess, page 236. It's chapter 13, Guiltless World, introduction. I'll start with paragraph 2, and then it leads into what you read, Bruce. Jesus says here, you guys, the acceptance of guilt into the mind of God's Son was the beginning of the separation, as the acceptance of the atonement is its end. The world you see is the delusional system of those made mad by guilt. Look carefully at this world, and you will realize that this is so. For this world is the symbol of punishment, and all the laws that seem to govern it are the laws of death. Children are born into it through pain, and in pain, their growth is attended by suffering, and they learn of sorrow, separation, and death. Their minds seem to be trapped in their brain, and its powers to decline if their bodies are hurt. They seem to love, yet they desert and are deserted. They appear to lose what they love, perhaps the most insane belief of all. Mm-hmm. And their bodies wither and gasp and are laid in the ground and are no more. Not one of them but has thought that God is cruel. And then this is what you were saying, Bruce. If this were the real world, God would be cruel, for no father could subject his children to this as the price of salvation and be loving. So this, I just wanted to read that quote because I always suggest do their own studying with that.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
This is a system made mad by guilt. And Bruce is right when he talks about sometimes it's hard to really go back to the metaphysics. So what we do is we start in the world. And I wanted to share something that I do. If anything, you know, upsets me, or even if I'm not upset about something, but I see that others are upset and I'm feeling bad that they're upset, that still needs to be forgiven because that's a separation idea. I'm saying in my mind, oh, they feel bad. I wish they didn't feel bad. I don't feel bad. That's a nice ego trick, right? To think that Jackie as the body is more advanced than someone, okay? Well, I'm not very advanced when I'm seeing separation and thinking that someone is not where I am in my thought system, see?
Yep.
So I want to point this out because it's really important. What I do all the time is I just stop and I remember to go within anytime there's any type of feeling of separation, any type of I have to help someone else. Oh, they're going to help me if they just do this. So the ego thinks we get our way by manipulating form and doing all these things, right? Then we're going to be happy. The Course is saying, nope, that's not going to make you happy. So I go within first, and I know that there's another teacher in my mind, and that I'm able to see this differently. And what's my clue? Any feeling or thought of anything other than peace. If I'm reacting to the projection in any way, that's when I stop. And I just remember there's also a teacher in my mind that's going to remind me that I'm dreaming and that I'm never upset for the reason that I think, which I think you mentioned, Bruce. So we think we're upset because of a virus threat or because of something our spouse said, or financial woes, or global corruption. It can be anything, but the hidden cause of our upset is the repressed guilt we feel in our mind over the seeming separation, right?
Exactly. So that's the setup.
That's the setup.
We've gone out of our way, typically an unconscious level, to make up a system of thinking that basically takes what we really are, hides it, and then in its place as a substitute makes up a mental realm where separation seems possible. And in order to justify it and to try to evade what we think of is this horrible price for having done this, which is the unconscious but unfounded guilt. It's not still unconscious and still unfounded until we look at it, of course. But once we see that, you know, we made this up, it was a setup, so that we, you know, blame everyone and everything else for our upset, but we forgot that we set it up. We need to take the upset and turn it around, as Byron Katie says, and show that it was set up. And then that becomes a way to see, wait a minute, I could see peace instead of this. You know, I could see that I'm not upset for the reason I think, because I made this world up, maybe not individually, but collectively. And our participation in it is subject always to the power in our mind to revoke that inner signature on the screenplay and say, wait a minute, I'm not going along with ego's interpretation today, or at least this moment.
Right, at least this moment.
Yeah, we have that power every moment, don't we?
Boy, we sure do. Well said. And people are always asking how they practice, right? Well, Jesus' famous quote, he's in the world but not of it, right? So I always ask people, okay, this is how we live in the world, knowing we're not of it. We live under these principles of forgiveness instead of judgment. So if we remember that there's nothing out there but our own projection, we can forgive the images we see and ourselves for dreaming them. When we do that, we can let the Holy Spirit thought system replace the egos. You know, this is sometimes daunting, but to take it simply in steps. If you're upset, that's just when you stop. If you're in fear, when you stop. If you feel bad, whatever it is, whatever variation, the ego has so many. We're not asked to deny our feelings just because it's an illusion. It's not important. We're asked to do exactly the opposite. which is to use our feelings, to look at them. Jesus is saying, just bring them to me, because I'm going to repurpose everything. I'm going to translate in through forgiveness why you're feeling what you're feeling and where it comes from. So this is not about denial at all. And I ask myself sometimes when I wake up, all right, which teacher do I want to follow in the dream today, right? And I wanted to quote something from the workbook workbook 140. I'm sorry, you guys, I have a little bit of an allergy thing going on. I'm stuffed up if anyone hears it. So that's what's going on. And I've got my matcha love green tea with ginger right here. And I'm drinking, so with lemon and honey and ginger.
Nothing wrong with magic.
gotta love the magic. Ooh, another good point, Bruce. See, we drink tea with lemon and honey, and in my mind, I know it's not the tea and the lemon and the honey that make me feel better. But however, when I'm in the fear of going back to my mind, our mind has to make up the things that we believe help us, you guys. So it's important to use those along the way, so which I am with tea. But I wanted to read from the workbook, lesson 140, Bruce. Today, okay, we seek to change our minds about the source of sickness, for we seek a cure for all illusions, not another shift among them. We will try today to find the source of healing, which is in our minds because our Father placed it there for us. We go beyond appearances today and reach the source of healing from which nothing is exempt. That would be a coronavirus, you know, the threat of anything. Nothing is exempt from that healing. But I think sometimes that's so challenging because everything seems so real to us, doesn't it? And Jesus understands that. But the more we strengthen the choice to see another way through the Holy Spirit's lens, through Jesus's lens, the more we choose forgiveness, that thought system gets strengthened. And it's strengthened when it's shared. And then it does become easier. It becomes more automatic. And one thing I wanted, Bruce, I don't know if you saw this yet. I just saw it before this broadcast. The Foundation for A Course in Miracles put out an article that Ken did, or an unpublished excerpt from a workshop. I haven't read the whole thing, so forgive me, everyone listening. But it's called Strengthening the Mind's Immune System. This is golden. I just recommend it to everyone, which obviously everything that Ken Wapnick puts out is golden, so that's really an understatement. But he does say this. He quotes at the beginning, he said, I want to start by reading or quoting a line from the preamble to the Constitution. Since wars begin in the minds of men, it is in the minds of men that the defenses of peace must be constructed. Isn't that interesting?
Well, it gets back to that you know, very important principle in the Course, is that you can't solve a problem except on the level where it was made up. And and so in this case, it always gets back to that decision-making point in the mind, that we're constantly choosing between one of two thought systems. And if we're not at peace, we're choosing the teacher of duality, the teacher of separate interests, the teacher of fear. And
right.
if we're one thing, if there's just one thing in reality, I think that's one of the most profound things right at the beginning in the introduction, is, you know, those all encompassing can have no opposite. And that's, you know, where the peace comes from. If there's no opposite, then there's nothing to attack. If there's nothing to attack, then there's just a perfect peaceful being. And tag, we're all that. But that's not where we think we're at most of the time. So to get back to that, as you were pointing out earlier in our conversation today, Jackie, that we have to use the things that seem to confront us, that seem to be outside of ourselves, see that those upsets are really just setups that we made up, and, you know, we basically double dared our dreaming mind to come up with things that give us an opportunity to say, see, I told you so. And, you know, the self-fulfilling prophecy of, well, yeah, I, you know, that which I feared has come upon me kind of thing. And at
right.
some point when we let go of the need to punish ourselves, because on some unconscious level, we're not even aware of consciously most of the time, we think that we threw perfect oneness under the bus, shall we say. We think that there's some kind of punishment needed. I mean, we think that we need to somehow use the ego's version of atonement to set things right. And so we're going to beat God to the punch and consciously or not, usually mostly unconsciously, set up situations that seem to have some kind of retribution or punishment that we think, not consciously most of the time, is justified because we don't like the self that we made up, and it's really just silly. And I love how Ken Wapnick keeps coming back to, you know, when it's tempting to want to condemn the ego, this false self of separate interest and separate, you know, identity, as being bad, but it's really nothing. So if we can remember
right.
that, and his comment is, it's not evil, sinful, or wicked. It's just silly. In the same sense that if modern physics says everything is interconnected, then claiming that things are separate, despite what the incredibly convincing special effects of this world that we call space and time might suggest, we just haven't woken up to the fact that everything really is part of the same being, the same awareness, and it is infinitely and eternally and intrinsically connected. And happily, God didn't make that world, so God isn't cruel. So that guiltless world section you just read, I thank you for reading that paragraph plus section there, because that really does provide a super reminder that the, you know, the starkly horrific world that we made up, if we look at it, you know, carefully and honestly, without, you know, deceiving ourselves, you know, it's really, at first glance, it seems horrible, but it's really nothing. It's really a non-starter, and that's why I think the Course uses words like idle thoughts. It's not going anywhere because it never got anywhere except in a dream.
Great point. It never got anywhere. It's not going anywhere. It's true.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so true. It's idle thoughts. When the car's idling, it's sitting there. It's not going
exactly.
anywhere. Right?
You might be burning up a lot of mental energy, you know, the equivalent of fuel, to keep the engine revved or whatever. But if it's on blocks or if it's in neutral, you know, you're not going to see much change in the scenery. And the scenery
exactly.
we're interested in is the scenery of choosing peace in the mind, choosing the thought system
yes.
of peace. Where we want to go, there's such a thing going.
Great reminder, Bruce. And I wanted to say something just at the end. Again, I haven't read this whole excerpt yet, but something caught my mind at the end when Ken Wapnick is saying, what we want to strengthen is the mind's immune system. And
mm-hmm.
the Course's term for accomplishing that, of course, is forgiveness or the miracle. And it's so funny that I titled this Sicknesses of the Mind, Forgiveness and the Miracle Heal the Mind. And I hadn't even looked at this. And I just point that out because everything is always joined together. You know, it's there's always a reason things come into my mind. It's very interesting. But I just wanted to remind everyone, I'm going to ask you if you have any announcements, Bruce, before we close. But just like to give a little reminder to people, too, of how I practice what has helped me so much over the years, so that when a worldly crisis comes about, and even if I'm not in fear about it, I talk to parents, I talk to family members, I talk to friends, acquaintances, clients, and it's always appropriate to be where people are on the level of form, where they are in their belief systems. And here's how I work with that on a daily basis. I've had an online business for over a decade, so not a lot has changed for me, meaning I'm still seeing my clients online and then some. But
uh-huh.
what I want to share with people is when I wake up in the morning, I always know that the Holy Spirit is in charge of my day. What does that mean? Well, in my experience, it means that any upset that comes up, any dis-ease of any kind, is used as a classroom for the Holy Spirit's purpose instead of for the ego's purpose. So you guys, when you wake up, you're already miracle ready because you can catch the triggers more quickly. And we don't catch them all. We don't need to feel guilty about it. We don't need to feel guilty about being upset. But whenever we have the time, whenever it comes back into our awareness, we can remember, Jesus is helping me use these images I've made to get me home, to get me to that place of permanent peace. And I can do that at my own pace, kindly and gently, but remembering that there is a teacher in my mind. And if I start my day off knowing that that is my goal, I know that I will achieve the means, you know, that will be the means that I will achieve my goal of peace, right? But Bruce, exactly. I wanted to ask you if you had any announcements. We just have a couple minutes left here. I'm going to be interviewing Bob Rosenthal about his book, and I know you've done wonderful, had wonderful conversations and interviews with him at ACIM. You post ACIM blog .com is where people can go, right?
Exactly. In fact, I just posted part three of my conversation with Dr. Bob about his new book, which is really wonderful. I think along with your book and his books, this most recent one is, I think, is best yet, and a lot of great stuff. I still have three chapters left to read, but so I talked about maybe about another quarter or so of the book,
That's
on blog.com. And he also did another webinar for the Foundation for Inner Peace this afternoon on Passover, and his book about From Plagues to Miracles was, covers that in more depth as well.
Yes,
and you can catch the replays on those. They'll be put up there soon. I've been having ongoing conversations with Susan Dugan, who has an online class this evening, and C.A. Brooks, who has the 1-2 radio program about the First Miracles. And I big kudos and shout out to Tim Wise and Lynn Corona, who also have, in addition to their ongoing School for A Course in Miracles, which has been around for a long time, they have increased the number of their online classes to literally daily now. So if you have any interest in
kind
of daily support of course ideas and kind of right-minded thinking, can't recommend them any more highly than top of the list. Kind of thing. And you can go to sfacim.org for that, for School for A Course in Miracles.org, and just contact them. You can see the schedule of their classes and go from there.
Woo-hoo!
And then on Saturday mornings, I still have I'm reading with Lynn Johnson on ACIM Gather, which you can go to acimgather.us to see that schedule. It's still, the whole schedule's there, but it's also being redone in another format. Anyway, we're reading from Ken Watkins' wonderful book, The Journey Home. We've been doing that for over a year. And and I also, of course, remind people to check out the two main websites for the course, which is acim.org for the Foundation for Inner Peace, and facim.org, which is the Ken Wapnick's teaching arm of Course in Miracles. And that's it was originally in Crompon, New York, and then Temecula, California. Now it's in Henderson, Nevada. And Jeff Siebert is doing wonderful work there, continuing with that. And Susan Dugan just posted a wonderful interview with Jeff on her blog, which is forwaysandforgiveness.com. So lots of great resources. And I try to keep as much as I can connected on acimblog.com. And I'll be putting our conversation up there too. Soon.
Oh, I'm so glad, and thank you for all that info for everybody, because it's so helpful, and it's one of the reasons I like you to give a rundown at the end, because you're so good at and your site is so good about including all this wonderful rich material that people can go to. So I want to thank everyone so much for joining us today. Bruce, thank you so much. And
likewise.
Wish everybody I want everybody to just be well and do the normal thing, follow the protocols that we're asked to follow in the world. Why wouldn't we? And we just know, as course students, again, in the back of our mind, where sickness really comes from. We just hold that thought in our awareness. And when we remember that, we remind the whole sonship, because We're one with it. And so we love you all very much. Bruce, I will talk with you again soon.
Excellent.
Wonderful to have you. And
likewise.
Be well and blessings, everyone. See you soon.